Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Mark 9, verses 2 through 9. This Sunday, of course, we're celebrating the transfiguration of our Lord. And so this passage from the Gospel of Mark tells us about that. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Indian jug plant, trilliums, and lady slippers. Those are three of my favorite wildflowers, in case you wondered what in the world I was talking about. Indian jug plant, trilliums, and lady slippers. They all bloom basically in the spring, in the mountains, in the foothills of South Carolina. I find them all to be fascinating because they're all very different. They're all very unique. Lady slippers are some of our native orchids that grow here in the mountainous areas. And they are amazing and beautiful. And when they come out, the big leaves that look like big orchid leaves, of course, they just come out of the undergrowth and the brush and come out and they bloom, sometimes white, sometimes pink, sometimes a deeper pink. And then they're gone. It's just amazing. Trilliums are also flowers like that. Come out, they stand a little bit taller than the lady slippers. They're called trilliums because they have three petals on their blossom, three sepals, and three stigmas. They're called trillium for that reason. If you try to transplant either one of those into a wildflower garden, you'll be very disappointed, because they don't like to be dug up and they don't like to be transported. They'll simply just not exist the next year. So you have to enjoy them there in the woods. The Indian jug plant is just a tiny little plant. It grows sort of at the base of trees in the forest. It has big sort of heart-shaped leaves, about that big. And then you can dig through the leaves and you'll find at the base of the stem a little jug. It looks just like a little jug of pottery, except it's sort of off-white. And it's there this, the spring, early spring, it's there. It's its flower, I guess you would say. And it's there like a little treasure you can find. And then you can gently cover it back up and it's fine. Those plants are just so amazing and so interesting and so fascinating. And then you say, "God, why did you make these interesting little plants? I don't know that they do anything really significant in the life cycle or the ecology of the area, but they're just amazing. They're just wonderful. They're just great to see and to discover in nature." So it sort of lends itself to the fact that we wonder sometimes, why did Jesus do the transfiguration? He told them, don't tell anyone about this. Peter, James, John took them up on the mountain apart from everyone. He didn't want this to be a public display of the wonder and majesty and awe of God. He didn't want people to go, "Oh, this person is fully God, fully human. This person is our Savior, our Messiah." He didn't want that. So why do it? Why do the transfiguration? Why do it for these three? So many questions about it. His ministry, what he did, what he accomplished, the power of the resurrection, the power of the ascension, the fact that Christ is always with us, all that would be unchanged if the transfiguration had never occurred. So why did he do it? Maybe it's because Valentine's Day is this week, but I think that in part it was due to the fact that it was a gift of love. It was an unexpected thing. It was Jesus looking at these three, knowing that they would have pivotal roles in the life of the early church, knowing also that they would face great tribulation and trials and suffering and fears and everything else. And it was a gift of love, a gift of concern, saying, here, let me show you this. Let me not just tell you how much I love you, how much God loves you, how much God will be with you. Let me show you. Let me put that love into action. I think Valentine's Day is really nice. We can show those that we love through whatever means, flowers, candy, whatever else. But you know, I think the unexpected sign or act of love perhaps is appreciated a little bit more. Something that's completely out of the blue, something that's completely unexpected, something that's really nice. It's significant because it's unexpected. It's not earned. The transfiguration wasn't earned. It wasn't because Peter, James, and John were head and above, so shoulders above all the rest of the disciples. It was because Jesus loved them, and he wanted them to see this sign of God's love for them. And so it's a reminder to us, if we're going to learn anything from the transfiguration, perhaps it is that we need to show God's love, God's grace to someone else, maybe someone close to us, maybe someone we do not know. To show God's love, to say, you know, this I know is unexpected, you didn't earn it, but I'm going to show you just how much I care for you because you are simply a child of God. And God loves you. And I believe God is telling me to show you just how much I love you as well. And then this passage, this story about the transfiguration always intrigues me. Because they're talking all the way through it. And it's so like, I can't wrap my brain around that. It's so odd. Here they are, they're seeing this amazing thing. Moses and Elijah appear there with Jesus. And you go, wow. And then it says, Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus. There he is, transfigured before them. Moses and Elijah with him. And they're talking, and you want to say, come on, tell us what they were saying. We really would, wouldn't you love to have heard that conversation? Obviously, it was not meant for us. They were talking, and then Peter starts talking, his famous misstatement, his famous weird thing to say, you know, that would be me, open mouth, insert foot, whatever. So it's that sort of thing. Peter says, oh, this is so amazing. Let's just build little houses up here and stay up here forever. And Jesus is going, oh, yeah, that's why I came to earth, you know, so I could live on a little hut on top of the hill. That's the reason I came, you know. And so he's sort of like, come on, Peter, you're going to be the rock upon which the church is built. We're not going to stay in a hut on top of the mountain. And so Peter just, he doesn't know what to say because he's terrified. Well, if he's terrified then, of course, the cloud overshadows them, and God the Father speaks, this is my Son, the Beloved, listen to him. Rah. I can't imagine. I can't even begin to grasp what it would mean to be terrified in that. You're there in the presence of Christ who's transfigured, there in the presence of Moses and Elijah, and then the cloud speaks and says, this is my Son. Talk about being terrified. I'm sure you've had moments in your life where you were terrified. I had one when my son was very young. I was driving from church, just finished church on a Sunday morning, driving my little S10 Chevy truck. It's black, had chrome, had a little 5-speed thing going. It was really cool. It had trouble on hills, but other than that, it was good. 4-cylinder. But anyway, so it was really neat. So I was just trucking on down the road. All of a sudden, I noticed this car coming up really fast behind me. It was a straightaway. And I thought, wow, they are flying. So then I looked forward to make sure because I knew this guy was going to pass me. Well, sure enough, he started passing me. And I was like, okay, there's no other car coming. He can get around me. Well, he got up beside me. Then he decided he'd gone far enough, so he came back over on me. He was flying. I was going pretty, you know, regular speed limit. And he smashed into the side of my truck. The trouble was there was an embankment on my right-hand side. So when he smashed into my truck, I was so dumbfounded that I guess I didn't have time to react. Looking back on it, I go, why didn't I do what they do in the movies? You know, in the movies, if a car comes up and it smashes you, the person pulls back toward them and smashes back into them, you know, something like that. And that would have been cool. It also would have kept me on the road, I guess. I don't know what it would have done. But, you know, when they smashed into me, it just felt like I said, okay. And I rolled down the embankment in my nice, shiny, black S10 Chevy truck. Now, if y'all don't know what an S10 is, it's like a compact. It's really, it barely could be called a pickup truck, but it is. But I loved it. But I rolled down the embankment, and I knew that there were trees at the bottom of that embankment because I used that road a good bit. And so as I was rolling down the embankment, all the windows in the truck shattered, and they turned that crystal white sort of look. And I couldn't see out the truck as it was flipping, but I kept going, waiting for the tree. I know there's a tree. I know I'm going to smash it. I would just sort of, that's all I could think of is, where's the tree? Where's the tree? Because I knew they were there. Well, as it turned out, there were trees. There was a little gap, and then there were trees. And guess where my truck landed? Right between the trees. It landed upright, and I was sitting there. There wasn't a piece of glass left in the whole cab of the truck. It was all gone. And I felt something around my neck, and I was going, what in the world? And then this guy came running down the embankment, and ran up to the side of the truck, and he was dressed in a suit and tie. He was a younger guy. I knew that he'd come from church just like me, and he was going, praise God, praise God, praise God, you're alive! And I was sitting there going, yeah, I'm alive. What are you talking about? You know, I was like, what? He said, my wife and I saw the whole wreck, and you rode down the embankment, and I told my wife, he's dead. There's no way anybody can survive that. The whole top of the whole truck was smashed to pieces. And I was sitting there, dazed, wondering what was around my neck. Well, you know how the back windshield has, if you ever noticed, at least back then, they had the big plastic gasket that went all the way around it. Well, somehow, the plastic gasket had come off as a part of the glass being shattered and had wrapped around my neck. I had a neck brace. It had wrapped around very well, not too tight. I could breathe just fine with my neck brace on. It had just caught and wrapped itself around. And so when the ambulance got there and they were saying, are you okay? And they were trying to put me in a neck brace, I was sort of like going, I don't really need one because I had one during the wreck. I had a neck brace. And I also had a gap in the trees prepared just for me. I had been terrified, too terrified to smash back into them, too terrified to do any kind of defensive driving. And God said, you know what? It's okay that you're terrified. That's all right, because I'm here for you. I'm here with you. I will provide. If we can't remember anything else about the Transfiguration, remember that Peter, the rock upon which the church was built, Peter was terrified. And God said, it's okay. It's all right to be terrified because I'm here with you. I'm walking beside you this day and every day. God continues to do just all of that as well. What does the Transfiguration mean to us? How do we apply it to our lives? I think indeed that as we examine and as we look, as we understand that the Transfiguration is a giant part of the Christian faith and a giant part of our walk with Christ, that in the end we realize that God is the God who can do all things, and that the end we can do all things through God. When they left the Mount of Transfiguration, they came down and they encountered a young boy who was possessed by a demon. And the disciples prayed for him that the demon would leave him, and the demon would not leave him. And so they brought the boy to Christ, and Christ said, y'all need to get more faith, to the disciples. And then he told the demon to leave and to never bother the boy again. The disciples said, why couldn't we do that? And Christ said, you have to do it through prayer. When we can't do anything else, Christ is there. When we find ourselves at the end of our rope, Christ is there. When we are at that position, then Christ is there. Christ is saying, yes, but I am Lord God Almighty. I will be transfigured in your life. And then you'll have the ability to share that good news with others. Last spring, Renee and I took our 5 grandchildren out to a mountain park, and we were playing and running around having fun. It was in the springtime. It was a nice day. They were running and playing and playing and running and running and playing and doing everything, and it was just a really fun afternoon. And then it got time for us to leave, and we were walking the trail to get back to the parking lot, and I had my grandson with me, Brandon, and he was walking with me, and he was sort of in a hurry because the rest of them were way ahead of us, and I kept looking to see if I could see the Indian jug plant, and sure enough, there was one right off the trail, right at the base of a tree. I could see the leaves. So I said, Brandon, come here. And he said, no, they're ahead of us. They're going to get in the car. I said, they'll wait. I'm driving. So I said, come on, look here. So I said, you know what this is? Of course, he didn't. So then I started digging away the leaves. I said, you help me. So he started. I said, be very gentle. So he started pulling it away. And there was the beautiful little jug at the base of the plant. He was like, what is that? I told him, it's Indian jug plant. And that's its flower, and it blooms. And I said, and then when we look at it, we enjoy it. We put the leaves back around it. And he said, how did you know that? And I said, my father showed it to me. Now I'm showing it to you. Transfiguration happened. It happened for Peter, James, and John. The transfiguration happens for us as well. Christ shows us God's love and what God can do. Even if we are terrified, God says, here, I'm here for you. All Christ wants us to do is to show that to others, to demonstrate that to those who need Christ to be transfigured in their lives, just like we need Christ to be transfigured in our lives each and every day. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for the transfiguration of Christ. We thank you for all that that means to us. We pray indeed that through our lives, through the love that you have given to us, through our efforts, that you might be transfigured in the lives of others as well. This we pray in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Let's sing.